Well, good afternoon. It's Thursday already, 1:15, time for our devotion. We've been spending time talking about zeal this week. I hope it's been a blessing to you. Hopefully you've been following along. We started out talking about Jehu, and Jehu in 2 Kings chapter 10, verse number 16, said, "Come with me and see my zeal for the Lord." And Jehu is one that fervently wanted to live for Christ, wanted to live for God. He put God first in his life, and he sought to serve God. Gave this one quote, "One man with convictions equal to 99 people with interests." We have too many folks that are interested in the things of God, but they don't have a conviction and zeal in their hearts, and there's no fervor that drives them. And so we're talking about zeal. We also talked about the fact that a zealot is an uncompromising partisan. A partisan is someone who has a definite position. To be uncompromising is to be unwilling to change your mind, to be unwilling to concede what you believe. A zealot is a fanatic. You know, we ought to be fanatics. I don't mind anybody knowing that I'm a fanatic. I'm a fanatic for someone who has changed my life. He's changed my heart. He's changed my destiny. And I don't mind if the whole world knows, because I'm so thankful for what he's done for me. A zealot is happy in what he's doing. He's not just doing his duty. He's excited about it. He's excited about the things of God. He's excited. He has a zeal inside of him that causes him to want to live for God and serve him in a great way. John Wesley once said, "If I had 300 men who feared nothing but God, hated nothing but sin, and were determined to know nothing but Christ and him crucified, I would set the whole world on fire." He was talking about starting a revival that would sweep the world. Acts chapter 2, there were 120 spirit-filled zealots. These people were zealous. They were filled with the Spirit of God, because they had surrendered and they were submissive and consecrated to the things of God. They had a holy zeal that burned in their hearts. They had a fervent spirit about them, and they turned the city of Jerusalem upside down with 3,000 saved in one day. You know, when they referred to Paul, they talked about him as one who would either start a riot or a rebellion because of the zeal that he had for the things of God. The Bible talks about things for which we ought to have zeal. In the book of Psalms 119, verse 139, the Bible talks about a zeal for the word of God. And we read, "My zeal hath consumed me, because mine enemies have forgotten thy words." He had a zeal for the word of God. He had a zeal to get people back to the book, a zeal to stand for the truth, a zeal to proclaim what had been forgotten by society. In John chapter 2, verses 13 through 17, the quote is made from the Old Testament where it said, "The zeal of mine house hath eaten me up." He had a zeal for the house of God, a zeal for the things of God. There is a zeal in giving. In 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, talks about the matter of giving with exuberance. It says, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." There's a zeal for others. In Colossians 4 and verse 13, Paul spoke of the zeal of others in prayer and how that they interceded with great zeal. Says, "For I bear him record that he hath a great zeal for you and them that are in Laodicea." And here was a man who had a great zeal, had great fervency. In 2 Kings 9:22 and 2 Kings 10:16, we find this man named Jehu who had a zeal for right. He got rid of a bunch of Baal worshipers. He got rid of Jezebel. When he rode in town, she said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" He said, "What peace? As long as your whoredoms exist." He told the eunuchs, "Throw her down." He was ridding the land of some of the great ungodliness and evil. He had a zeal for righteousness. in Titus chapter 2 and verse number 14, the Bible says that we're supposed to be zealous of good works, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works. I like what it says on an ancient tombstone. It doesn't even give the man's name. It just says, "Here rests a man that never rested." Man, that's zeal. Zeal was so vital to Christian service. One of the great deficiencies in America today is a lack of zeal and fervency among preachers and leaders and people in the pew. That's why we've got to get in the pulpit and try to pump people up and get them excited about the things of God. Wouldn't it be wonderful if a preacher came to the pulpit and people were already pumped up? People were already waiting to hear him preach and had a great zeal for the Lord? Wouldn't it be great if the people left the house of God with a great zeal and everywhere they went, Monday through Sunday, they were showing forth that great zeal to the world around them? Do you think that would change the state of the world today, the state of our great country, how it's fallen apart, if Christians would just stand up with a great zeal and tell people about the change that Jesus Christ could make in their hearts? Zeal is something that is evident. It can be seen. "Come, see my zeal for the Lord," Jehu said. In Romans chapter 10 and verse number 2, Paul said of the Jews, "They have a zeal, but not according to knowledge." He said they're lost and they're going to hell. They're zealous, but they're lost. They are zealous about keeping the law, but their zeal is not according to knowledge. God wants me to have zeal. God wants you to have zeal, but he wants us to have knowledge too. The greater my knowledge, the more fuel that I ought to have for my zeal. Knowledge is the fuel that feeds the fire. There has to be zeal according to knowledge. Some are zealous about the wrong things. There's a zeal for the Lord, a zeal for the world, a zeal for the flesh, and a zeal for the devil. Zeal must be gentle in its approach, because gentleness is strength under control. Gentleness is not weakness. Meekness is not weakness. Meekness and gentleness are strength under control. A gentle horse is not a weak horse. It's a horse that's under control, but it's strong. God wants us to have a great zeal. God wants us to serve with great zeal. He wants to give us great knowledge, that we might serve him with great knowledge and great zeal, that we might lift him forth to the lost and dying world around us. We think about the shape of America today. We think about the state of the world around us. And people need to know about God. People need to hear the truth. The sad part is we're living in a cancel culture. We're living in a culture that doesn't want to hear about God. They want to punish and hold back the things of truth. They don't want those things out there. They want to hear what they want to hear. I'm telling you, it's going to become very unpopular in the time ahead, if God tarries his coming, for us to take a stand for God. So we ought to take a stand now while we can. Show forth the zeal of the Lord in our life and in our hearts. Might we be Jehus that will say, "Let me show you my zeal for God." Zeal is an element of godly character. As we grow in knowledge, our zeal is going to be harnessed by that knowledge, and it needs to drive us to be more productive for the things of God. It ought to drive us to have more zeal to share with others. It ought to drive us to share the importance of Scripture. You know, once we get someone saved, then we need to impart into them the truth of the Word of God, that they might grow in their zeal with knowledge, that they might be able to go forth and in turn serve God in a great and mighty way. The truth of the Word of God to give us leadership, to know how to use our zeal, how to apply our fervor, and what to do with the fervency and excitement in our hearts. Well, I hope and pray that this study in zeal has been something that's encouraged you. I hope and pray that it's something that we pray for. God, give me a zeal. Give me a love for you, an excitement for the things of God, a love for your word, a love to spend time in prayer, and a love to have a zeal in our hearts to share Christ with the lost and dying world around us, because they need to hear the gospel. In a world that would have us to be canceled and to be quiet, it's time for the Christian to speak up. Christianity as we know it is on the cusp of being changed forever, as our world is. And if the socialists continue to take over our great country, well, I'm telling you, we need to hear more about the truth of the gospel before it's eternally too late. I'd hate to think that generations ahead, if God tarries his coming, generations ahead in America would never know the truth of the gospel, which once we were this great lighthouse, a great bastion of truth that shared the truth of Jesus Christ with a lost and dying world around us. It would be horrible if our churches became places that were silent, if the people of God became silent, if the generations that came after us didn't know what their grandparents believed about the Word of God, if the generations that followed us never got to hold the Bible in their hands or hear the truth of the message that they could be saved, what a tragedy it would be. Listen, Christian friend, we need zeal, and we need that zeal in our lives and in our hearts, and might it cause us to live for the Lord in a great and mighty way. I want you to know I love you very much. It's been good to go through this study on zeal, and I'll look forward to being with you tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday. It's Thankful Friday. It's the most exciting time of the week for me. I love Friday. I love Thankful Friday. We have so much to be thankful for and so much to give thanks. I want to thank you for being here today. I want you to know I love you. May God bless you, and I'll see you tomorrow.